Now, and then, and there is an adventure. I think the beautiful thing about product is that you are going to, you don't know what you don't know first. And now you start getting enough data and you're like, okay. So it seems like building product is not just for PMs. There are a lot of other roles within the product team that might be a good fit for me, maybe today, right? Yes, it's good to have to keep your eyes on the price. And maybe your dream is to be a VP of product at a Fortune 500. Fantastic. But what can my first step be, right? And treat that as a game, as a video game where you are the product and the risk of failure is literally zero. It's really, really fun and rewarding.
This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management. Hey, welcome back to Path into Product. We are so glad today to have Carlos Gonzalez de Villambrosia with us. This is a very exciting episode for Ash and I. This is a long time coming, so we're glad to make it happen. Carlos is founder and CEO of Product School, and he has over 10 years of product experience. So, Carlos, we're so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be with you guys.
Well, we like to start out with a foundational question, and that is, how do you define product management?
That is the million-dollar question. So, the first misconception around, I can start by what it's not, because I think that can be a good way for people to at least clarify this. Because when I started, first of all, I started building products before I knew what product management was. So I wish someone had told me, hey, first of all, a product can be digital. And when we, in this context, I think that's what we are talking about here. So we're talking about digital products, which is mostly websites, mobile apps, could be other type of things, but that could be a good start. And a product is also a mindset, because a lot of people would associate building products with having the product manager title, which is great, and that's true. But I think it goes beyond that. Building a product is something that you can do. You don't have to ask for permission. It's literally having the time and the courage to go out there and put something into the world. And this can be as simple as a website. It can be something else. And by the way, when I say website or mobile app, another misconception is that it requires code. These days, you don't even need to know how to code. You don't need to know how to design. You don't need to know how to sell. You literally need the time and the courage to go out there and tinker with a few tools and learn from there.
Yeah, I love how you say that it's a mindset and you don't even necessarily need code, right? You just need to go out there and offer up something, build something, and offer that out into the world. What would you say are maybe two or three key components of a product mindset?
Mm-hmm. Well, the official definition that I want, when I go the straight answer about what product management is, I always say it's shipping the right thing for the right people at the right time. So those are the three components right there, right? It's a lot of science that goes into that. This is not just about art of, oh my God, I had an idea. Let's put it into the world and that's it. It's really doing your homework, your research, talking with users to understand what their pain point is, right? And then building a potential solution for this type of user, not just your own dream solution or not a solution for everybody. It has to be very intentional solution for a very particular group of people. And the third component is the timing. Because you also have to do it at the right time. Like we've seen a lot of cases of really, really advanced technology that didn't make sense when it was launched, but then kind of did in the future.
I love that, Carlos. You've said something twice already, and I just want to ask about it. You've said to have the time and the courage. Explain what you mean, if you don't mind, of what you mean by those two things.
Yeah, that's the foundation of Product School. I started this company to really demystify the role of product management and help people feel more comfortable building and putting themselves out there. Because when I started my career, I studied computer science and nobody told me anything about business or product management. Someone told me, hey kid, if you study engineering, you're going to be an engineer. And if you keep doing well, you'll become a senior engineer and so on. I was like, well, but what if I want to leverage my technical background in a different way? Well, no, kid, this is not in the cards for you. And I was kind of a rebel. So that's why I tried to create my own path. And back in the day, my solution was to go to business school, which is literally the opposite. And I went to business school and then realized that everything was so high level about like mergers and acquisitions or like strategic, whatever. But at the same time, there was this huge gap in between, which is, okay, how can I connect business with technology? And engineering and business schools are definitely not covering that. At least I didn't have a single class on product management or digital marketing or UX design, data, a lot of the skills that many of us use on a daily basis. And that was the inspiration behind product school, right? Something in between. Now it's like, okay, when I had this idea, and of course it was a solution to my own problem. I was literally the first user because nobody really taught me how to do this. A lot of people would say, this is impossible. You need to be a visionary. You need to have these amazing ideas and PMs are born. You cannot become a PM. Like, or if you want to be a PM, you need to be a software engineer and an MBA and be absolutely amazing at everything. It's like, that's not true. So little by little, I think it was really important to connect product leaders from incredible companies to aspiring PMs, people who just needed a push. They needed to meet the creators of the products they use on a daily basis. And you know, and one step at a time, that ended up becoming a community of over a million members, where we're doing so many different types of programs, but like the core of it is really empowering people to build better products.
That's awesome. Well, you've already got into a little bit of this. And so we'd just love to know a little bit more. Carlos, would you tell us your path into product?
My path into product? Accidental, definitely. And as I said a little bit before, I was a software engineer, so I started building websites out of control, just for myself, for fun, then for clients. Some people would actually pay me, and I'm like, oh, that's great. So my first official jobs was as a software engineer. But after that, I started building my own companies. So Product School is technically my third company, depending on how you count. And I gave myself the title of the CEO and product person. So I chose to be involved in product because that's what I love the most. And so I pretty much learned by doing. I was lucky enough to be part of a startup accelerator called 500 Startups that gave me access to incredible mentors or product managers from Google, Facebook, Airbnb. That was the first time I realized, oh, wow, there are people out there who are called product managers who are doing this, and I'm learning directly from them. This is amazing. So eventually, after my two previous companies, I realized that my passion was to build, and that in a way, I've always been trying to solve this problem in a known very efficient way. So everything kind of came together, and that was the story behind starting Product School. And literally the solution to my own problem. And everything was bootstrapped. Like, I also don't want people to think that, oh, just because I was in Silicon Valley and I had a genius idea, somehow some people start giving me millions to try. Not at all. The beginnings were really, really scrappy. I've been bootstrapping Product School for 7.5 years until we recently announced a funding round.
I want to go to that moment when you're in this accelerator program and you're being mentored by these other PMs. What, dig a little bit deeper for us. What was sort of your reaction to learning that product management was actually a discipline, that it was a real thing, and that there was a science component to it, right? Help paint the picture for us of how you were reacting when you started learning about product management for the first time.
Mm-hmm. So the traditional approach, the approach that I took at the beginning was, well, I'm an engineer. I know how to build something I'm going to build, but that's just a very small part of the entire equation. At the end of the day, you also need to talk to customers, get out of the building and get their input. Because if you understand your customers a little bit better, you can save a lot of time with the building piece. And this is a constant process. So nobody taught me that. It's only until I was part of an accelerator program where I was building. This is a place where an investor gave me money to build my own company. But they not only gave me money, they also gave me access, which I think was more important than the actual capital. They were very interested in making sure that the startups they invested were building the right way. So they connected us with product leaders that were actively working at Google and other incredible organizations. And they showed me that there is a science behind this, that this is not like a crazy visionary that is telling people what to do. there is like an art, there's a part of it, which is an art, but it's also A-B testing. There's a process. You have to create a roadmap. You have to test with users. You have to collaborate with teams, designers, engineers. A product is not just made of product managers. Actually, product managers don't really do anything, meaning they don't code, they don't design, they don't sell. They rely on other people in order to build something together. So that was a breakthrough for me because I realized that's exactly what I love and what I've been missing in a structured way. And it turns out that that's a situation for a lot of people. Because if you ask a lot of product leaders today, hey, how did you actually get your first product management job? Each one will give you a different story, right? Like maybe they were at the right time at the right place. They got a promotion that said yes. Or they started a company. They called themselves PM, like whatever that might be. But back in the day, there wasn't like, I went to product school, right? And I think this is a really good alternative for a lot of people to give it a try in a much more efficient way than maybe a traditional MBA program.
Okay, so I've got to ask the question because you brought it up, Carlos. Product managers don't do anything.
Don't quote me on that, please. They do a lot. I love them. I'm a product person.
I think we should call the episode that. okay, so they aren't like individual contributors, right? They don't code or they don't design. So from your experience, what are they doing? What I mean, our listeners are looking at product management at a career, and they might hear something like, hey, you're the CEO of the product, or you're the general manager of the product, or they might hear this episode and go, hey, you don't actually do anything. So
yeah.
Like what does that actually look like?
I think that makes for a great headline, but I would rephrase that. I would say they cannot make anything meaningful by themselves alone. And my mom asked me that question because like, okay, so you are the CEO of this company. You created this website. So what do you do now? Like, well, mom, you know, there is a lot of things here. But it was hard to explain. And I don't blame her because I felt kind of the same way at the very beginning. And they actually connect the dots. And it sounds very high level, right? Like, well, I don't need to connect the dots. The reality is that at the very beginning, you might not even need a product manager. The way startups are built, you really need people to build, like a website in this case, and maybe people to sell, right? And maybe you can get away with that until you get to a certain scale where you realize that, okay, I have multiple engineers here. I have multiple people doing business, call it marketing, sales. Eventually, you're also going to need designers. And it's a lot of people. So it requires coordination. So this role of the product manager, in very simple terms, is that person that sits in between all the doers, all the people who actually code, design, sell, so can help align everyone and push in the same direction. So in reality, yes, they do a lot. It's almost like a head coach, right? Like you cannot go on the field and score a goal. You need your players, but you are helping them be set up for success.
Yeah, I love how you're saying this. It's a lot of people. It takes a lot of coordination. The PM obviously cannot do anything on their own. And I think some of our listeners might hear that and they say, okay, that sounds a lot like project management. So what's the difference between being a project manager and being a product manager?
Great question. Especially when I started product school, project management has been around since forever. So a lot of people will ask me this question, right? I see project management as a very important part of product management because as the teams get bigger, you need all types of skills. So project managers are very tactical in the sense that they really help teams to make sure that we are executing according to plan, budget, and quality. Product managers, they oversee that piece and they also shape the vision and the strategy of the company. They kind of look a little bit farther ahead. So it's very important for product managers and project managers to collaborate. Actually, a lot of project managers become really amazing product managers. It's a really common stepping stone.
What are some of the trends that you see or that indicate what product management might look like in the future?
I'm glad you asked this because I am obsessed about identifying the trends and participating in shaping the industry. So we create an annual report called the Future of Product Management. And this is not the future of product management according to Carlos. It's really the future of product management according to product managers who are in the weeds every single day. So we tap into our community of over 1 million members these days to gather this type of data. We're in constant interaction with product managers across all levels, across all industries, geographies. So it's also important to bring diversity, the diverse perspective into this, to not get too biased with what's happening in Silicon Valley, right? With the next cool app. So with that in mind, once we gather all this information, we try to visualize this in a few trends that are easier to understand, because there's so many things happening. And by the way, whatever we said last year, a lot of that is true, but also a lot of that will change for the next year. So at a very high level, I can give you kind of the three trends that are shaping the industry today. One is what Aaron mentioned at the very beginning, like the way you build products now is much more visual than ever. Meaning there's a lot of no-code tools that empower creators out there to put something into the world without any technical background, design background, or other type of limitation, which is fantastic. That's democratizing the creation process. The other piece to it is that we've never been in a better situation in life to build digital products. Like there's never been more companies hiring product managers. And this is because multiple factors. One of them, obviously, is businesses being forced to offer their products or services online. During the pandemic, there was no other way. And also now, with more companies being remote, they are realizing that this is necessary. Like, we need to use technology. Doesn't matter if you are in Silicon Valley or in other parts of the world. Doesn't matter if you were in tech or in other industries. Tech is not an industry. Every company is a tech company. So as long as you have more than one employee, you are using some sort of tool or technology to collaborate. And that is really, really incredible, because it's really pushing this industry forward. And the third thing is that product managers are not just entry or mid-level roles. We are seeing a creation of an entire career path up to the C-level. We see the rise of the chief product officer, CPO. And that is massive, because back in the day, the highest ranked product person in the organization used to report to either the chief marketing officer or the chief technology officer. Now product has a seat at the table. And in many cases, the CEO actually comes from a product background or calls themselves a product person.
I want to ask you, from where you sit, CEO, founder of Product School, you're looking at helping other people, demystifying product management, I think are the words that you used before. How have things changed in the last 5 years about how somebody becomes a product manager?
Oh, it's been a 180 degree change. I remember when I started the company, most of the questions from students were, what is product management? What is the difference between project management and product? Is this really necessary? Am I going to lose my job? How much money am I going to make? And now I think there's much more education in the market. There's much more validation. You can see the salaries. It's all public. You can see the amount of jobs out there that require product management experience. So the conversation has shifted. It's more about, okay, I know this is huge. Now, how can I really get a job? How can I really become a great product manager? Literally this week, LinkedIn published a report that said that product management is the job that can get you a promotion fastest. It's 2.5x faster than the average job in the US. That is massive.
Yeah, we're both smiling because we looked at that report and we posted that. That felt like a lot of validation for us. What else have you seen? Maybe things that are now a little bit different for people trying to get into the field.
So a few things that have changed. I think back in the day, it's true that having a technical background carried a lot of weight, just because there wasn't really that many no-code tools. So if you look at where PMs came from 10 years ago, most of them would actually come from a technical background or maybe an MBA. That was like the old school way of thinking about this. And by the way, I'm an engineer, love engineers, went to business school, like love business people. Like, there's absolutely nothing like bad against that. I think having education will only help you. There's no such a thing as, okay, am I going to get disqualified for knowing about something else? No, that's all good. But my point here is that this role has been democratized, and there's examples of amazing product leaders that come from design backgrounds, operations backgrounds, customer success, and even outside of tech, we see management consultants, people, finance professionals. And the beautiful thing about this is that in product, you are a generalist. You need to know a little bit, or maybe a little bit, a lot, about a lot of different things. But you cannot be the best at almost anything just because you don't have the time. You are wearing so many different hats. So it's okay to not be the best at anything. It's good to at least be excellent at one of the disciplines and then good enough or curious enough about the rest. So at this point, it's not that relevant where you came from. It's more about what's your appetite for learning and really being out there to help other teams, even if you've never been an engineer or a designer before.
So with so much more formal education for product managers, how do you see that change influencing the workplace?
Well, now if you look at any job description out there for product managers, it's changing. They are not saying we need an MBA or we need a CS degree. You can find it, but it's really changing. We see actually a lot of companies that are adding our certification as a requirement or as a nice to have. And I think that's a positive impact. Some companies don't even ask for any of those type of requirements. They are more about show me your portfolio. I want to see your products. Like these days, there are more ways you can prove your worth than showing where you studied 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I love that. So we've talked about, in a lot of ways, things are a lot different now. You know, we've got things like product school that, you know, you have certifications and all of this content. You've got things like the Path into Product podcast where you can see how others did it, right? What are still some of the main challenges that you see of folks who are trying to become product managers? What are some of those major challenges that they're still running up against, and how can they get over those hurdles?
Well, thank you for that question, because I think it's also important to hit reality. Like the fact that there are a lot of companies hiring and that this job can get you a promotion fast and it's really well paid and you have a lot of responsibilities. There are a lot of things that are good about this. That doesn't mean that this is easy. It takes work. And most likely, you are going to get rejected in certain interviews, and that's just part of the process. It's a very competitive environment out there. That's number one. And then the other part to keep in mind is that being a building is not so. It's not only about getting the product manager title. You can build with your current title or without any title at all, right? Like we were talking about this before. You don't have to ask for permission. But let's say you actually want to ask for permission because you're really stuck in the idea of, well, I really want to put the word product on my LinkedIn profile so people know that I can build. Okay. If that's true, Google, Facebook, and these FAANG companies are not the only option. Yes, they are very prestigious, but you can work as a product manager in so many different companies outside the tech bubble. And that's okay. And maybe you actually learn more, make a bigger impact, and are happier. Or maybe not, but it's important to know that there are options out there and that this is a career path and that you're optimizing for your next job, especially if you are young and you have never done this before. It's probably a very simplistic strategy. Hopefully this is a long career for you where you are going to do a lot of incredible things and optimizing for learning and impact, in my experience, can pay bigger dividends later on.
I love that. You said something that I want to follow up with and just to better understand. With the new landscape of product, you have companies now asking for a portfolio. Now, as an engineer, that seems pretty easy to present. As a designer, that seems pretty easy to show. What does a product management portfolio look like?
Yeah, that's actually what we do as part of our training, because there's a lot of deliverables that product managers create that are not just the final website, for example. I'm talking about a roadmap. I'm talking about a PRD, product requirements document. I'm talking about a full-on user testing report where you can show all the different interactions you've had with users and your learnings. I'm talking about an A-B testing experiment. I'm talking about prototyping. There's so many different parts. So there's a process, and PMs are directly involved in this entire process. In some cases, they are responsible for some of these deliverables. In other cases, they need to co-create them with engineers. So I think the most successful PMs we've seen from our school that end up landing jobs are the ones who are able to walk the walk. They don't show up to an interview and say, well, this is how I would do this case. No, let me show you what I've built, and let's kind of ask questions and listen, because the reality is that no two products are built the same way. And the fact that you were successful in an experiment or in a different industry doesn't guarantee you success in the other one. So I think as PMs, we are trying to learn and answer with questions. And instead of being with like, yes, this is exactly what you have to do, it's more about, well, let me ask you some clarifying questions. Let me tell you what my approach is. And please keep in mind that I'm also flexible.
Yeah, I think that flexibility is key, particularly, you know, in an interview saying this has been my approach, but I'm willing to learn, right? I think one of the tenets that's often thrown around is strong opinions loosely held, right? That we have very strong opinions about things, but we're willing to challenge those. I don't know what your thoughts are on that particular idea.
The role of the product manager is becoming a facilitator more than a dictator. I know that you've heard this term of the HIPPO, highest paid person in the organization. You don't want to be the HIPPO. You don't want to show up to a meeting and start telling people what to do and impose your ideas. That's a sign of a very, very bad person, not just a PM. If you really want to lead by example and empower your teams, it requires humility and vulnerability, right? Put your ego aside and really try to identify the best ideas, even if they are not yours, and then validate those ideas with some data and user research.
Love that. So this might seem like a strange question. And what questions are we not asking you today that we should be thinking about our listeners who are trying to get into product management? Like, what if you've probably heard them ask you these questions. So what questions do people usually ask you, or what questions have we not asked you today that you see coming up quite often?
How much time do you have?
just pick a couple.
So in my experience, when we interact with people, professionals, that they want to become PMs and they haven't got that first PM job, that's probably the hardest point, because you hear all of these product leaders share inspiring stories about how they made it happen, about how hard you have to work, about these amazing certifications out there, about these people who say yes if you send them a cold email. And all of that sounds really inspiring, and it's true, but there's no replacement for hard work and rejection. Because like, okay, what am I going, if I'm a student, if I'm a recent grad and I want to get my first job as a PM, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do this weekend that is really going to move the needle? Right. And I think, and when we get this type of questions, my first reaction is, well, first of all, you're in a much more advanced position than I was when I had your age, because I had absolutely no idea what product management was, even after I was doing it. So it takes patience and also certain consistency. For me, what works, because I also don't want to give general advice here and everyone should follow, what works for me, if I'm serious about something, is I have to make time for it. Like, it's very easy to say, well, I don't work out because I don't have time. I don't do this because I don't have time. Well, if you're saying that you really, really want to get a PM job and it's a priority for you, but you're going to need to have time for it, because Google is not going to knock at your door and be like, you know what? I see you graduated from this cool university. Have you really thought about becoming an excellent PM with a six-figure salary? Well, I never heard that story before. And now, how you actually invest that time, I think this, you can treat yourself as a product and iterate, right? There's a lot of low-cost, even free alternatives out there that can give you some data points. For example, if we want to use Product School as a potential source, like, over 90% of our resources are absolutely free and available. I'm not here to sell anything to anyone. Like, you can literally join some of our daily workshops. You can download some of our interview guides. You can join the discussion forum. and really start paying attention to what's going on and even contribute to it. That pays dividends, that compounds, because if you can allocate, even if it's an hour a week, you are going to be in a stronger position the week after. It's going to get to a point where you will have to make more decisions and be like, okay, I learned enough to decide, do I really want to pursue that or maybe not? Because there's another option, which is, I don't want to do this. Like, this is not for everybody. And I think that's it's important to clarify. Now, assuming that you think there is potential here, then let's take the next step. And eventually the next step is to start building something. And you can always build by yourself. You can get a coach or a mentor to guide you through the process. You can get training where you can benefit a lot and kind of go fast. It's like going to the gym. You can sign up for a gym and never show up, sign up for the gym and do the thing by yourself, or sign up for the gym and go with a personal trainer. So, you know, that's going to accelerate your results, but nobody's going to wake you up. You have to show up. That's number one. Now, and there is an adventure. I think the beautiful thing about product is that you don't know what you don't know first. And now you start getting enough data and you're like, okay. So it seems like building product is not just for PMs. There are a lot of other roles within the product team that might be a good fit for me, maybe today, right? Yes, it's good to keep your eyes on the prize. And maybe your dream is to be a VP of product at a Fortune 500. Fantastic. But what can my first step be, right? And treat that as a game, as a video game where you are the product and the risk of failure is literally zero. It's really, really fun and rewarding.
Yeah, I love how you say that, the adventure of product management and sort of taking the product mindset that we were talking about before and applying that to yourself and your career and doing many experiments to see, one, could I even do this? Would I enjoy this as a job? And two, how do I continue to build and iterate? And as you say, pay dividends with all of that research and learning and talking with other folks to get into that first role. I think that's well said, really well said. And you alluded to this before, but why would somebody not want to choose product management as a career? How would they know it's not a good fit for them?
That's a great question. And I've never been asked that way. I've usually been asked, why should I be a PM? So when someone asks me, why should I be a PM? I say, I don't know. Like, I'm not here to convince you to be a PM. In this case, I'm also not here to discourage you from being a PM. I'm biased. I think it's awesome. But at the same time, I want to be realistic, right? And show you a few things that are not super fun every day. For example, we were just talking about this off the record. We do a lot of meetings as PMs. It's a lot of back-to-back calls or meetings, and that can drive some people crazy. I personally love it. I enjoy switching context and being in contact with so many different people. But the downside of that is you can't really go super deep in a lot of the things because you just don't have enough time. And the other downside is that at some point, you also have to block time for yourself to get things done and to make sure that you are managing your own priorities, not just serving other people. So if you enjoy being more of a generalist, where you are kind of in between things, helping people out and lining, I think this sounds really interesting. But if you enjoy as being a specialist, being best at one single thing and really not being disturbed by the noise, then I think there are many other options that sound interesting as well. Like, the biggest risk, I think, is not to try. Because these days, there's no excuse not to pick up a book, show up to your podcast, right? And just listen about what are these people doing. When I started my career or in college, I had no idea what engineering was. I literally chose this degree because I liked playing video games and I was good with numbers. That was my logic. And then I realized that engineering is a lot of math and I don't get to talk to people. No. I actually like playing sports and other things, right? So I think these days there is an advantage for a lot of people out there who are considering options, which is you can have access to more options. You can dip your toes a little bit without really taking a big commitment. And that's what lifelong learning is all about at the end of the day.
Love that. You've mentioned this throughout, but we do want to give you some time to kind of address our listeners on what is product school and what services do you offer and how can they find out more? We just would love you to kind of share that with our listeners.
Thank you. We build Product School as a community for product managers. That's first and foremost what we are all about. There's over 1 million members today, and we offer over 90% of our resources for free, including events, discussion forum, a job board, books, and others, just to help the community. The way we sustain the community and our business model is training, our certification programs. So we have part-time certification programs for people who are very serious about taking that next step in their career. Some are about getting that first PM job. We also have certifications for existing PMs that want to get that next promotion. And that's the core of our business. In the last 3 years, we also launched our corporate training services because we noticed that most of the students who take our programs, they are professionals who are actively working at companies. And in some cases, they were being reimbursed by their employers. So now we also can go out there, Fortune 500s such as Walmart, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and other incredible companies, and go and train their organizations, not just their individuals one by one.
That's awesome. I do want to ask one question that has to do with this. And this might be a little bit of a cheeky question, Carlos, but I noticed as I looked at your LinkedIn profile that you have done what I've heard product management called eating your own dog food, right? You have actually got certificates from product school. And I'm curious to know, what did you learn as you went through your own certification courses?
Hi there, Path into Product listeners. As product people, Ash and I love feedback from the humans who use our products, and that means you. Please take a minute to click the link in the show notes for a short survey or email us at pathintoproduct@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, receiving your feedback, and listening to your ideas on how to improve. Now, back to the show.
Thank you for asking that question. I think nobody has ever... I like how you preface the questions, and then it's true, you deliver, because nobody has ever asked me that. I actually like to say drinking my own champagne instead of eating my own dog food. I think our product is really awesome. But it's true, I think the same way I create Product School as a solution to my own problem. I'm a lifelong learner. And I think it's very important to always be learning and walking the walk. So in this case, when I started the company, I was the first instructor. And as much as I have experience, the reality is that I'm not the best product leader out there. There are people out there who have more experience, who've been having more exposure to building products. And those are the ones who teach today at Product School. So it got to a point where like, oh, wow, I actually want to take these programs. I want to learn what are best-in-class processes because this industry is evolving. Even now, we treat our own curriculum as a product. And the version that I created 8 years ago, that's nothing to do with the curriculum that we have today. And it will be very different from the curriculum we'll have a few years from now. So I really enjoy that. And yes, of course, I take our own trainings because it's also part of my user research. I really want to feel like the user. And I think there is no better humbling experience for a product person than going through your own onboarding process. But in addition to that, I also learn from other sources. Like last time I took a course from Stanford about recurring businesses. I read a book about culture because now I'm obsessed about building cultures. And in general, I think that having that curiosity is what keeps me alive.
Curiosity. I think we have not had an episode on this podcast in which curiosity has not been brought up. And so it's evident to see your passion there for learning, the curiosity that you bring, and that you do drink your own champagne. So that's very admirable. Carlos, thank you so much. This has been a delightful conversation for us. I've learned so much, taken so many notes, and we really appreciate your time and your insight and everything that you're doing over there at Product School.
Thank you guys for what you're doing as well, creating a platform and giving product people a voice and helping them connect with the next generation of product people.
Thanks for listening today. These people's stories are incredible. Each one is unique and comparable all at the same time. We hope you enjoy them as much as we do. As product managers, we are always looking for feedback. So please don't hold back. Let us know how we are doing. Before you go, please consider subscribing. Also, give us a rating. It really helps this podcast reach an even greater audience.